Hey girls, Maria Menounos here, author of The Every Girl's Guide to Life. Want to know my best tips and secrets for organization, travel, weight loss, beauty, fashion, and everything else in between? Go to bing.com/Maria and pick up my new book, The Every Girl's Guide to Life.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Dean
Johnson. The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, and streaming live on Ustream. This is AfterBuzz TV for Game of Thrones. Tonight's host is Bethany Jaber. Joining Bethany will be AfterBuzz co-hosts Curtis Taylor and Sarah Stratton. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest Game of Thrones news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, picking up where the show leaves off, and the buzz continues, Bethany Jaber!
Hi guys, welcome to the show. This is actually Sarah, and I'm going to be hosting tonight. I'm here with Curtis, and Bethany and Nathan will be joining us next week. So we're going to talk about the Game of Thrones today, and it's a brand new series on HBO. This is episode 2 airing, and we didn't cover this last week on AfterBuzz, so we're going to do a little bit of recapping of episode 1, 2, just because it is a new season, and as if you've been watching the show, you know that there's a lot of characters and a lot of family, and it's a little bit confusing. So we're going to try and clear a few things up, as well as looking at a little bit of both the episodes. First off,
Hold on, Sarah. First of all, we want to say Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Yeah, Happy Easter, everyone, or Happy Resurrection Sunday, however you want to call it. It's Happy Easter. So the reason why Bethany and Nathan are not here, I'm sure they're probably celebrating. Me and Sarah, we're like diehards. We love the Game of Thrones, so.
It's a great show. And the show must go on.
Exactly. So I'm excited. I'm excited to be with you, Sarah, just so you know. You know, to all the listeners, Sarah's very, very attractive. So when you really want to push to get this on, you know, on TV so you can see her and you can have your own little crush as I do.
And I must say, Curtis isn't too bad himself.
Well, you know, I try.
A little wink across the table.
Yeah, I try. Okay, now we can talk about it.
Now we'll get to the show.
All right.
So we kind of want to first start off with a recap of what happened last week, and it really kicked off the series.
Absolutely.
And basically, you get to learn about a couple of families that live in this magical world, and it's a world of seven kingdoms. And each kingdom is ruled by a separate family, and then there's one throne that kind of is like the head honcho of all these lands, and hence why it's called the Game of Thrones, because whoever owns this one throne rules everyone.
Absolutely.
And this throne, you see, we haven't seen it really in the show yet, but we've seen it in the introduction, and it's made of all these swords, and I'm really excited to see the story behind that one. But so we were introduced to a couple of the families that are in this very heated power struggle.
Over thrones, absolutely.
Adaptation. So the first family I want to talk about is actually the Lannister family.
Yeah, what we're doing for the listener and as well as us, because we're you know, AfterBuzz, you know, we're fans. What we're going to do is we watched the episode last week, and just like some viewers, we were, you know, a little perplexed. You know, we wanted to, you know some more of the characters. And this week, actually, they gave us a breakdown of different characters and different families. So what we're doing is we're recapping from last week to transition that to this week. So therefore, our listeners will know, you know, the different nuances of the families and what they've been through and, you know, where they're going. So therefore, when we do watch Game of Thrones together, we'll all know what the Lannisters are. We'll know what the Targaryens, we'll know what the Dracians are. Or Darthrakians, and the Starks and so forth. So that's where we're at.
So that's kind of what we're doing, just to help everyone out a little. Mm-hmm. So as I said, there's the Lannister family. And this is known as one of the most powerful families in the history of this world. Mm-hmm. And the three Lannisters that we've really been introduced to, are Cersei Lannister, who is the queen, and her two brothers. One of them's name is Jaime.
Cersei's a Lannister?
Cersei is a Lannister.
Okay.
And she's the queen.
Yeah, she's the queen.
And she's married to Robert.
She's sleeping with it. So she's a Lannister and she's sleeping with her brother?
Yes. Cersei is sleeping with her brother, Jaime, who's this kind of tall, blonde, arrogant-seeming man. And then they also have another brother whose name is, I'm so sorry, I'm not really clear with the pronunciation yet. I'm learning.
Which one's the middle or the dwarf?
It's the dwarf. And his name is like Tyrion.
Tyrion.
I'm trying to get that one right.
Yeah, Tyrion.
And sometimes he's even referred to as the imp. So a lot of these characters do have multiple names, which I'm sure will get a little confusing. So we're going to try and cover a couple of them. And then, so those are the three Lannisters. So you've got two brothers and a sister. And it's a little strange because, as Curtis said, the sister is sleeping with one of her brothers.
Yeah.
I mean, when you
think about it in modern day, you're like, yuck, that's crazy. But that stuff kind of happened a lot back then, it seems, where kings would marry their sisters so they can continue the bloodlines and so forth. It seems that way. But it's weird to the natural, to our thought process, how weird
exactly.
that is. I like to talk a little bit about the Lannisters, if I may.
As far as
the breakdown of what they are, as the viewer is going to watch, what I'm gathering is that they're very corrupt. They're one of the oldest, hierarchies of families, wealthy families. Mm-hmm. But they're very corrupt, and they've used their beauty because they're very attractive, tall. Very seemly type of family, except one, which is the dwarf, which is Tyrion. So he's kind of like the black sheep or the bastard of his family, as mm-hmm. he said last week. When you look at them, you see, you know, well-to-do just by their appearance. And then they're very corrupt. They're very ugly on the inside. In their family. So it's kind of interesting how that is.
Yeah, I'm in total agreement with you. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I'm looking on this family, it's just they seem, all of them have this desire for power.
Absolutely.
And where you see it in kind of all the families that they want power, all of the siblings are like bloodthirsty, mm-hmm. kind of will put themselves in any position to get a leg up on anyone, even their siblings.
Absolutely.
I mean, in this episode, we saw Tyrion talk about how he studied books to make his mind more powerful so that he could compete with his brother's sword.
Absolutely.
And so they're just putting themselves in these positions that they are willing to beat anyone mm-hmm. and step over anyone. And I think with them, it's even over their own family.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, without question, just like you said, you know, he's more or less sharpening his brain and his brother is sharpening his sword. Because like we said earlier, the Lannisters are very they look like the ideal version of royalty, with the exception of Tyrion. So it's kind of ironic that they, you know, you have this family who looks really good, like I said, and they're very ugly on the inside, and they'll do whatever they can to have the throne, per se, or have power.
It's not that far off. I don't know. When you say that in those words, it just makes me think of, like, you know, you hear all the rumors about people who always have power, but behind the scenes, they're not as beautiful as they appear. It's completely normal. I mean, even in this crazy world of fantasy, you can see some connections to the real world,
too. Exactly.
And you see the Lannisters actually get into a little bit of a fix in the past two episodes, where the youngest son of another powerful family, the Starks, mm-hmm. this little boy was climbing up the rocks of the castle,
mm-hmm.
you know, stumbled into a little scene that he wasn't supposed to see.
Sex scene.
A little sex scene of the queen having sex with her brother.
Weird.
And to take it further, they saw him, and the brother proceeded to, just without flinching, shove the little boy off this huge tower.
Mm-hmm.
Without even flinching, just threw him out. And then in this episode, so that was the end of last week's episode, was this little boy just falling to the ground. We assumed he was going to die. And then this week, they revealed that he actually might live.
Absolutely.
And we see, we don't see the the Lannisters actually doing it, but we know that they're trying to plan his assassination because we see him send this...
One of their handlers, yeah. They sent one of their handlers to execute the boy. Didn't work, backfired, and the boy's still alive. But they spend the entire episode, this episode, episode two, trying to get rid of this child in any way they can, any way possible. So it's kind of interesting how this story started to unfold.
And that just really points out how bloodthirsty they are. Like, it's one it's not one thing to push a little boy out the window, but I mean, that could be like in the heat of the moment, passion, you do something horrible. But then you go and you're like, oh, nope, we have to make sure he's dead. Yeah. We're going to plan to kill him in any way. And
because the conspiracy is this. She's actually the king's wife. Cersei is actually the king's wife. And, Jaime is a Lannister. Mm-hmm. If the king found out that Cersei is having sex with her brother, naturally the Lannisters would lose their stranglehold upon the throne, because that's where the connection is with the Cersei and her husband Robert, which is the king, and the connection with the Lannisters and why they have so much power, because they're connected to the king through her. But if the king found out that his wife was having sex with her brother, then he would divorce her, and then, or even worse, have her killed, and the Lannisters lose their stronghold on the throne, and then the Ned and his family, the Starks, which we already can see that the prince is having is favoring Sansa.
Just to clarify that. The prince, who is the son of Cersei and the king, is looking for a little bride, and he's found a possibility in one of the Stark family's daughters. And so that comes to, you see a little bit of their flirting and mingling in this second episode, and even a little in the first. While we're on the topic, why don't we talk a little bit about the Starks, since we've brought them up twice.
Absolutely.
The Starks are the powerful family of the northern country.
Absolutely.
And first off, just to clarify, the northern part is the coldest part, and it's the closest to the wall. Mm-hmm. And this wall is a very, everyone knows, when you say the wall, people know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. It's this giant barrier. It's supposedly, it's like hundreds of feet, I believe, of stone and ice wall that protects the kingdoms, the seven kingdoms, from the wild land of the very north. And up there, there's a bunch of mysteries, a bunch of wild people, and there's rumors of just these supernatural monsters.
Yeah, we call those they call them the White Walkers. Mm-hmm. You have the wildlings, which are, like you said, they're like savages or people that are uncivilized, as they would say. And then you have the White Walkers, which is legendary. They're like creatures that are outside the wall. And then you have the people of the North who are the guardians. They're the guardians. They guard the wall. And that's where the Starks, that's where their connection comes to with the king, because they're like the warriors. They guard, the king's backside, per se, because that's where the North is. So we have the different Starks. We have, we're going to go the name, Sarah.
Okay, so for the Stark family, the head of the family is Eddard. So that's E-D-D-A-R-D. So like Ed, except for instead of calling him Ed, they like to call him Ned. This was very confusing to me the first episode. I was like, wait, what's his name?
Yeah, don't you love the different variations of all these different names? Eddard, and you have Ned. And,
confusing.
You have Kat, which is Caitlin.
And Caitlin is Eddard's wife.
Yeah.
And Eddard has a ton of titles. I can't even list them all. His main one is he's like the Lord of the North. And his new supposed job is that the king, Robert, who's married to the Lannister woman, he wants Eddard to be his new right-hand man.
Right-hand man, yeah.
And basically, Eddard would have to go live with him and basically be his number one guy to trust and be able to do anything for him and always have like his life ready to lay before the king.
But we know what happened the last time he did that. Mm-hmm. The last time Ned, I like to call him Ned. I'll call him Ned instead of Eddard. because it's easier for me. But we know what happened the last time when Ned went to go help the king.
Last time didn't go so well.
Yeah, exactly. Didn't go well at all. He came back with a seed.
A little seed.
a little bastard which is crazy because they use those terms all the time, like bastard, bastard, mm-hmm. bastard. And, you know, they're so harsh. Like if someone called you a bastard, I haven't heard that term in a long time, but I'm assuming that still stings, you know, hey, you little bastard, you know, so yeah. I think it still stings. But anyway, Ned, he left years ago with the king, and he came back with another son. So therefore, his wife, which is Kat, or Caitlin, as some people like to call him, I'll call her Kat, because that's what I do. Kat, you know, she really, really doesn't want Ned to go with the king mm-hmm. because she fears that he's going to have sex with another woman. He's going to come back with another bastard son.
Yeah, I think it's a very interesting dynamic that we see erupting there. Basically, the son we're talking about, his name's Jon Snow. Mm-hmm. And Jon Snow has this whole little bit going on, too. He's quite an interesting character. Mm-hmm. But Jon Snow is now in the line of their children, about second from the oldest. Mm-hmm. And Caitlin doesn't seem to like him too much.
He's a bastard. I wouldn't like him either. If I was a female, and someone, you know, your husband comes home, or your your significant other, or however you want to do it, comes home, and they have a child. This is my baby. You know, I got this from another woman.
It's obviously a lot of questions.
Absolutely.
Like, what have you been doing?
Absolutely.
Come on now.
Yeah, and he can't forget her. Like, he really remembers her name, you know. I believe her name is what, Wyla?
Wyla.
Wyla, mm-hmm. Yeah, he couldn't forget her.
But one thing he did mention, he obviously can't forget her, and I think there's a story, but he did seem remorseful. And I think that was interesting because of all the relationships, I don't know what you thought, but theirs seemed the most loving to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it was really pointed out in the first one, like, she didn't want him to go because he's her husband and she loves him.
Yeah.
I mean, compared to the king's relationship, where the king's a player and is flirting with all these women all the time, like smacking butts everywhere. And then his wife, and there's just like cold shoulders. And then it's the Stark family, and they're very much in love.
Yeah.
So it probably even stings more
Absolutely.
That he had an affair because she loves him so much,
yeah.
and she assumes he loves her so much.
Well, even King Robert, he even said it. He was like, you know, Ned, you're like so straight to the collar type of person that wouldn't cheat on your wife, and here you have this girl, and you have this bastard son. He said that when they were mm-hmm. having that little conversation. So, you know, he is, just like you said, Sarah, he's the type of person where you just wouldn't expect that he would cheat on his wife. But I see it like this. When you're gone for like 15 years or whatever, however, because the kid, you know, he came back with a son.
He didn't come back 17 years.
Yeah, see, mm-hmm. I mean, 17 years. Would you cheat after 17 years?
Oh, that sounds.
Yes,
I would.
Yes, you would.
That sounds horrible, but
absolutely,
it's like really hard. It reminds me of these stories, and this is going off on a little side note, and it's tragic. But mm-hmm. you know, when you hear families about how their spouses go missing and they presume them dead, and like 5 years go by and they like get remarried,
absolutely.
Or they don't think their husband or wife's ever going to recover from a coma. It's like there comes a point where you have to think that they deserve to be happy too.
Yeah.
So after 17 years, that's quite a long time.
Especially nowadays. Nowadays, you would cheat. I definitely would have cheated back then. As a man, you know, we cheat. Like, you know, men do some crazy stuff. But mm-hmm. nowadays, women actually do some of the things that men do.
17 years has passed my limit, so
years,
I don't
exactly.
feel that bad
17,
for him.
17 years, you know, for Jesse, he says 5 hours. If you leave the house for 5 hours, he's definitely going to cheat. But
he's nodding his head.
Yeah,
he's nodding his head and smiling.
17 years. I think it's, she didn't cheat though, which is good.
But
I think back then, if she would have got caught cheating,
in this society, I think it's a little different too.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't feel any hostility towards him. I'm not like, oh, he's a player.
Yeah.
He seems still like a good guy.
Definitely.
I can't really blame him. And I feel like there's more to that story.
You just have a problem with the king.
The king. I mean, if maybe him and his wife had a loving relationship, I'd have a problem.
They're both cheating.
But they're both cheating,
she's
and they both
nasty
don't seem
too.
To like each other.
Yeah.
So, not too big of a
problem.
She's
like, to me, she's, I think he likes her. I think he even loves her. But I think for him, he's a king, and you know, kings, you know, they generally have a lot of women, a mm-hmm. lot of concubines, because you know mm-hmm. women love men in power, and he's in that day he's one of the most powerful, if not the powerful,
he is the
powerful
most
man there. So he chooses how he chooses. I think he loves her. But what I like is that he doesn't necessarily listens to her to let her mm-hmm. make the final decision in their situation, because she has a lot of corrupt thinkings. Like, you know, she thinks kind of in a different way, where I would say, you know, if he's a weaker king, you know,
she can manipulate him.
Manipulate him completely, mm-hmm. but he's not that person. Like, he decides who he wants to, like we'll, you know, when we go through the names. So we can go through the names, and then we'll deal with.
Okay, we'll go a little through more of the names. So we've got the Lannisters down. Yeah. Good. There's three of them.
Yeah.
Then we go to the Starks. So far, we talked about Eddard and his wife, Caitlin. And their bastard son, Jon Snow. Mm-hmm. And there is a point for him called Snow. I don't think they've really touched on it too much. Like, so we'll probably talk about it a little later some other time.
Yeah.
But they also have a couple other children. They have two daughters. One, Sansa, who's the older and might be betrothed to the little prince. Little not nice prince.
Yeah, he's
evil little boy.
Yeah.
And then they have the younger daughter, Arya, mm-hmm. who's kind of a little bit of a black sheep herself. She is definitely a tomboy. Very skilled tomboy as well. We see her already through the first two episodes. One, shoot an arrow and get a bullseye.
Mm-hmm.
Two, disarm a prince of his sword by using a stick.
Absolutely.
So she definitely has some talent in the armory department.
Yeah.
And then he also, they also have some more sons. Rob is one of their sons.
And the oldest.
The oldest. Mm-hmm. And Bran is the youngest. And I am missing the name of, I think, the middle one. But
I don't know the middle one. It's interesting. I mm-hmm. guarantee you, as the story unfolds, we're going to find out that Rob is named after the king, because they're so close. The king is named Robert, and I believe his oldest son is named Rob Stark.
Mm-hmm.
Ned's oldest son is named Rob, which I bet is named after the king. That's how close they are.
I think we'll get that relationship. Right.
And then Arya, we have Sansa. Sansa's the older, the mm-hmm. redhead one, the one who's redheaded, and she actually likes the prince.
And she really bothered me in this episode.
We'll get back to that, but
you keep going.
And then Arya, which is my favorite of all the, you know, the younger Starks, because she's so feisty, and I like that. I like an aggressive woman, per se.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she's really aggressive, and she's assertive, and she's not taking... She's not accepting just being a woman, you know, per se, you know, where she's just, you know, cooking, cleaning mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff. She's actually a hands-on, you know, she's willing to get her hands dirty, which is great to me. And she's very skillful at mm-hmm. the art of war. I'm interested and I'm excited about her character and how it's going to unfold as it goes on, because I can see her being that Joan of Arc type, you know, the warrior princess type person.
Totally. Right? That's one of the fantastic things about this show.
Mm-hmm.
The reason it's so complicated and a little bit confusing is because they are giving these characters so much room.
Yeah, time.
Like, these characters are going to develop and be incredible. Like, you don't see anyone completely straight.
Exactly.
Like, I'm not completely confident with my view on any character yet, because they're very complex and they seem very human.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's different levels to all of them, and it's going to be so much fun finding out all the stories that made all those levels and what they're going to do. It's going to be a great season. I mean, this show is built off a great series that I'm trying to finish reading.
Yeah.
But
see, she reads. Sarah even reads. That's sexy. Jesse, that's sexy. A woman that still reads. She didn't say, I go on the computer and Google, or I have my iPad and I look at the book. She
don't bash
reads.
Computers. I mean, Jesse over there is a like computer whiz going on.
She reads, Jesse. She doesn't have headphones on listening to her.
Very
book.
Far from few.
Exactly. See?
But so this show, I'm really excited for. Like, they have a lot to live up to. This was HBO's, like, most anticipated show that they've ever, like, created.
Is it ever? Really?
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot going on. I think so. That's what they were advertising it as. And they've been put the work in. Just a little side fact that I learned that just shows how much the show is devoted to being good is, and we'll talk about the family that this involves, is there's this nation called the Dothrakis. They're also called the Dragarians and the followers of Draga. Like,
Drakis, yeah.
Yeah, they have lots of little names. Mm-hmm. I believe their official name is the Dothrakis. Mm-hmm. But the show went and actually had an official language created for their nation. Like, went to a language creator, like guy, and he made a language, starting with, like, the most used words that he felt in their language to, like, creating sentences. So when they speak in their Dothraki language, it's actually those words.
See, that's, like, amazing. Mm-hmm. You were talking about that earlier before we went on air. Wow, I mean, that's pretty interesting that they would go to such lengths to make a language for this particular.
It's really intense. The guy who created it's a single man who created this language. Mm-hmm. He goes so far as when they get their lines, he writes it in the Dothraki language and in the English language, and then he sends them audio files of how each one sounds.
Wow.
And it's a little, he mentions that it's kind of a mix. I'm trying to think of the two languages. The pronunciation is a little bit of, like, German and a little bit of
Hungarian?
It's not Hungarian. I want to say it's something like in the Middle East or something.
Okay.
But it's very, like, just strong, like, even in the words. But I just find that just shows, like, these people are devoted, and I'm so excited. And since we were a little bit about the Dothrakis, we haven't really talked about them in our little family explanations.
Because the only one we know is Drogo, right?
Is Drogo. And the Dothrakis, though, they are a giant war people.
Yeah.
And it was mentioned in this episode that they lead over 100,000 men across this narrow sea, and they are a big threat to the kingdom of the Seven Kingdoms and the throne, because they are becoming allies with an outcast family of the Seven Kingdoms.
Which is?
That is the
Targaryens.
Mm-hmm. And there's only two left of them.
Really?
There's two left, and there's a brother and a sister, and one of them's name is Khaleesi.
She's pretty.
She's very pretty. Angelic, white hair, blue eyes, and fair skin.
Yeah.
I mean, she's like an angel looking. Like, that's how she looks, how she's modeled after. And then her brother, who I'm totally blanking on his name right now.
Yeah, I don't care. We'll know his character more and more. He comes from that Lannister kind of bloodstock type, you know, corruption type person. Like, he'll do anything for the throne. He'll do anything to build up his name and so forth. Even so much as give his sister. Like he said, he'll have 40, last week he said he'd have like 40,000 men sleep with her if it meant him going to the, you know, being king.
Yeah, he's mean.
Good brother, huh? Would you like to have a brother like that, sir?
If I had a brother like that, I would definitely murder him and his sleep.
I know. she got a little spice to her, too, Jesse. You got a little spice in her. Murder in his sleep, huh?
I would. I mean, that's
murder
not
the
okay.
Case that they gave her.
But her brother did sell her to Drago, the leader of the Dothrakis, because he wants the warriors. Mm-hmm. And he wants them to take him back to his country where he thinks he can regain his rightful throne.
Yeah. I mean, because there's two of them. There's two of the Targaryens. Mm-hmm. And the Drogos, there's like 100,000. You said 100,000 warriors.
Something like that.
Which makes sense, because if he bonds with them, which are very warlike, then he feels like that he can go march upon anybody and, you know, conquer anybody with them. And then he'll become king because he feels like he's smarter than everyone else. So naturally, he'll be the king. And Drogos just be his
minion.
Basically his guardians, so forth, like Ned is to Robert.
Yeah. I mean, what I'm seeing from the Dothrakis is I don't even think they really care about thrones.
No.
They just care about, like, killing people and having sex.
Yeah, having sex.
That's all they seem to do. Like, they're kind of like picture it as, like, this savage people.
Look at Jesse like that. He's smiling, like, you know, I think I'm a Dragarian, you know what I'm talking
about? Yeah.
I'm a Drakian. That's where you come from?
Should we identify with which family we are?
Yeah. Look, I think Curtis is speaking through me right now.
He's being part of it.
That's what I do. That's
so I'm just going to sit here and nod and shake my head.
Well, I know you agree. Absolutely. Whatever we say.
Yeah, I'm a puppet ruler. I'm a puppet ruler. That's what I am, sir.
Taking charge. Yeah. No, but so one thing is just – so those are the families we've really been associated with is these three major powers and then this
– The Demis. Like, yeah, you have the Demi characters. We have the Lannisters. We have the
Targaryens.
Well, no, the three families. We have the Lannisters. We have the Starks, and we have
the Targaryens.
Targaryens. And what are the Kings? The King's family is Robert's.
I know what his symbol is.
Yeah.
His symbol is the stag.
Yeah.
I know that Robert.
He's at King's Landing. King's Landing is
where. Yes, he's the king. I know his family crest is like the stag.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have. I'm not sure what his family name is, though, at the moment. We have so many to deal with.
So many, yeah.
And then the Lannisters, who are like the lion.
Mm-hmm.
And then the
Starks.
Mm-hmm. Who are the
Guardians,
direwolves.
Yeah, like the Guardians, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. And then, but those are the main ones we've all dealt with.
Okay.
I think obviously we have lots of room for more characters because there's a bunch more families.
Really? There's going to be a lot more families.
Well, it's seven kingdoms.
Wow.
So
see, that's what's great. Mm-hmm. That's what's great about a book reader is because I'm obviously not. But it's great because you actually know what's going on even before it. I'm actually like some of those viewers that, you know, I'm watching it and I'm learning as I'm watching it on TV and you actually have
I've been like, I'm trying to finish the series. I'm nowhere near done. I like found out about the show and started looking into it.
Okay.
So like I'm nowhere near versed and I'm still a lot on like the edge. And they are changing some few things. I'm borrowing. So I'm still on one.
No, how many books do you have?
Do I have? Do I own?
Yeah.
Oh, that's really difficult.
How many books do you
have? How many books do I have? Hundreds. I have walls
hundreds?
Of books.
Really? She has hundreds.
I live in like the Beauty and the Beast library where it goes up like 10 stories. I just sounded like such a dork because I quoted a Disney movie.
Yeah, and then she's a little dorky too. So to the viewers, that's kind of sexy.
I was a really big nerd in middle school.
You were a nerd too? She's smart.
In middle school, I was a nerd.
Oh, you're like wild now.
No, I'm not wild. I'm
look at you. She's smiling.
I'm smiling.
She's smiling. So she's
I'm currently a college student.
Are you a Stark? You like a Stark?
I think so far, if I was picking a family, I'd be a Stark.
Which one would you be? Would you be Arya or would you be Sansa?
Oh, I'd be Arya over Arya? Sansa.
Really?
Arya has like some oomph to her. To me right now, Sansa's kind of like annoying. In this episode, Sansa totally turned down her family.
Yeah.
She watched this fight happen between Arya and the prince, mm-hmm. where basically the prince went psycho and drew a sword on this little unarmed girl.
Trying to be tough.
And of course, she tried to defend herself. And then like this wolf came up and protected its owner. And so it bit him. And he totally deserved it. And then he went to the king, his father, and his mother, and threw her under the bus and said that they were beating him with clubs.
Yeah.
Complete lie.
Yeah, my version is, you know, he's trying to impress Sansa, The prince is trying to impress Sansa. He walks up and he sees the butcher's boy, which is Micah, and Arya practicing with, you know, practicing how to fight because her brother told her, you know, he wanted her to learn how to fight and use, you know, the sword that he gave her. And the king comes up and he sees him fighting, you know, he's trying to impress Sansa by bullying the butcher's boy, which is Micah. And he puts a knife to his face and cuts his face, so forth. But Arya, who is tough and she's like pretty much like a dire wolf herself, you know, she hits him on the back. He goes rogue on her and starts swinging his sword, which, mind you, has a blade. But she's so sweet. Like she's such a like. Oh, I love this girl. But she's ducking the blade, and then she hits him and knocks him, and then she takes his sword away.
Yeah, she just wins. Her and her wolf, they beat him down.
Yeah.
But I actually had a little bit of a different opinion on that. I don't think it was to impress Sansa.
You don't think
I think he's literally a cruel little kid.
Yeah.
And for his own personal self, just has way too much pride and arrogance that he would do that if he was by himself. He would do that if he was with anyone. It wasn't about her. It was all about him being like this little spoiled brat who wants everyone to bow to and kiss his toes.
So it's basically for you, it's like you know, here's this kid that has way too much power. Mm-hmm. And he's super arrogant and super like a bratty type of person. Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I agree with you. I just think in that particular situation that he took his brattiness and his arrogance and his power to the next level simply because of Sansa being there. Mm-hmm. Like he called his guardian a dog and said, "Dog, go away," you mm-hmm. know, stuff like that. He's trying to, and then he's talking about he called her a little princess, like he was that she was his princess already. And mm-hmm. then he offered her drinks and stuff like that. I think he was trying to impress her. I really do. I think he was trying to impress her. I think he's an arrogant little brat as like I agree with you, but I think he took it to the next level because of her and he was trying to impress her. And then you remember when he got his sword taken away and thrown in the water and he was hurt mm-hmm. and he kind of like was crying and he didn't want her. He didn't even want Sansa
that
to touch
true.
Him. Go away. Go away, go get, because he wanted to cry alone, because I think he was going to cry out loud. So I just see him as a brat that was trying to impress, which he's going to get even worse, mm-hmm. you know, because you have a little brat that's a kid.
Yep.
You know, you don't train a little brat. He's going
to
grow up.
And no one's telling
brat.
Him like any better except for his one uncle who's yeah. the dwarf and is like, hey, don't talk to me like that.
Yeah. He's the only one that keeps slapping mm-hmm. him around.
Only one to stand up to this little kid is the even shorter uncle.
Yeah.
But also, I'm just really excited with this show. It just looks so exciting. I mean, yeah. you've got power, you've got sex, you've got just chaos, mm-hmm. lying, corruption, family, friends, enemies, supernatural, so many things.
And you have these great wolves.
Oh, and the dire wolves. Yeah. I want one of these wolves.
Yeah.
Special part of the show. Look like ginormous huskies.
Yeah.
But will do anything for their masters and are total beasts.
Those things are still growing. Like those, like, mm-hmm. I don't know, first episode, they were little puppies. And now mm-hmm. they're like, yeah, they're probably about 6 months old or mm-hmm. whatnot.
And they're like full-size
huskies already.
Uh-huh.
And they're going to get even bigger. And they played a very intricate part mm-hmm. in this particular episode. And that's why I wanted to, you know, bring them out because they saved a few lives.
Mm-hmm. And I think they're going to keep being a big part.
Absolutely.
They're definitely, I think, there's so many of them that they're here to stay.
Yeah.
We started out with five of these, and I think we're unfortunately down to... Well,
three.
One died and one
ran
around.
This is going to come back. Or
yeah.
he's going to bring some, you know,
something.
You got to understand that, you know, that dog is Arya's. Looks like it was Arya's. He didn't want to leave her, like, mm-hmm. at all. So, you know, he's going to come back. He's going to come back as when he's grown and they might, you know, she may go to battle or something like that. And you're going to see
come
a whole bunch of little dire wolves.
Yeah, they're beautiful, though. I want one. But this show looks amazing. I think we're both in agreement. Like, the show ended and Curtis looked at the TV and goes,
Is it over?
Is it over? I could watch this for hours. And that's completely true. The show's amazing. We want to talk about it every week, so keep coming back. This is our first one on Game of Thrones, but we're going to keep it going on Sundays. So please stay tuned. Watch the show. Watch us after. You know, be a great little duo of things.
And I'm back.
Oh. After Buzz TV. Predictions. Okay, so we've got a little... I'm trying to think. I'm predicting, I'm agreeing with the king. He said that there's a war coming,
Absolutely.
But we don't know who's with. And that's just a great line. I think it's going to be a motto of the show. Something's going to happen. I think the next thing that's going to happen is we obviously see Catherine go after her husband to warn him about the Lannisters. I think she's going to get stopped or something.
Mm-hmm.
That's my prediction with her.
Mm-hmm.
My other thing that I was really thinking about is, it's kind of obvious, but the relationship... between Khaleesi and Drago, you saw them go from this, like, hostile him. He's almost, like, raping her in the first episode. To this one, they actually started, like, making love. Mm-hmm. And so I think she's going to really align herself with their customs, mm-hmm. their everything they do, and they are going to have a real marriage and relationship and become a power force of their own. I think she's going to change through him, and he's going to change through her.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really excited to see more of that. Those are the two thoughts that are really in my head is about those two families. Do you have anything out there that you're thinking?
Well, I pretty much agree with you. I think, you know, those are good topics. You addressed them perfectly. I really don't have much to say. You know, I agree with you.
Okay, but there's a lot to look forward to.
Look forward to.
It's really exciting. I love the show.
Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks,
and
guys.
And Curtis is back.
From producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. If you have questions or comments, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.